Okay, we're learning Ein Yaakov on Tractate Shabbos, and the Gemara had gone off into a long discussion of the Hebrew alphabet. We view the Hebrew alphabet as being different than any other alphabet in the world. Our tradition is that Hashem used the Hebrew alphabet in order to create the world, and that even the names of each letter have meaning. The names, the shape, the numerical value. There's a lot of depth in the letters of the Hebrew alphabet. And we spent a few sessions last semester discussing different meanings that Chazal enlightened us about in the letters. We discussed Aleph coming from the word Aleph, to teach. Beit coming from the word Beit, house. Gimel coming from the word Gomel, to do kindness unto other. Dalet coming from the word Dal, poor, etc. The Gemara went through the letters and described the meaning of each letter, the deeper meaning of each letter. And then the Gemara went into the word Emet, which has the first letter of the alphabet, the last letter of the alphabet, and the middle letter of the alphabet, right? Aleph is first, Mem is middle, Taf is last. And then the Gemara discussed Sheker, which is really three letters right after one another, only written backwards. Resh, Kuf, right? Kuf, Reshin. So here you have... they're written out of order, the Sheker, even though they're letters that are adjacent to one another. Then the Gemara discussed the shapes of the letters. And now the Gemara is going to start discussing a tradition we have that the Hebrew letters and the Torah have within them codes. And one of the codes is the code called Atbash, where we started discussing this at the end of last semester. The idea that you take the first letter of the alphabet and you switch it with the last. And the second with the second to last. So an Aleph becomes a Taf. A Beis becomes a Shin. A Gimel becomes a Resh. A Dalet becomes a Kuf. A He becomes a Tzadi. A Vav becomes a Pei. A Zayin becomes an Ayin. A Ches becomes a Samech. A Tes becomes a Nun. A Yud becomes a Mem, and a Kaf becomes a Lamed, and then you just switch them, right? We just covered the first half. Well, when you hit the second half, you just invert it the other way. So it's easy. If you would write out the alphabet, you could just draw lines, right, back and forth, and see how the letters switch. So we have words in Tanakh where our tradition is that those words are alluding to something else. You just have to use Atmash. You have to use this code. Now the Talmud is telling us something else. It's telling us that even within the letters of Atbash, there are messages. So the Talmud says, Atbash. Aleph represents God, who is one. Taf represents the end. Someone's, instead of looking at the beginning, he runs to the end. Chazal say, Oti, T-Ev. That stands for someone who says, I'm disgusted with the one above. He says, Hashem, Etaveh, Lo. And I desire him. That's one of the amazing traits of God that are described in the 13 attributes of Hashem. Rav Moshe Cordoviro describes it with a beautiful allegory. He says, imagine a neighbor knocks on your door, says, can I have an egg? You say, sure, you're such a wonderful neighbor. Here, have an egg. He says, thank you. He takes the egg, dashes it on your head. And then he looks at you, yeah, this is the Rav Moshe Cordoviro in Tomer Dvora. And then he looks at you and says, can I have another one? Do you give him another one? What do? I see one. The look in his eyes says, oh, he better not be standing there. The second after he did that. So Rav Moshe Cordoviro says, but that's our relationship with Hashem. Hashem gives us the capacity to speak. And then we use the very tools Hashem gives us. And we transgress, we go against His will. There are so many gifts that we have every day, and we misuse them. We're no different than the neighbor who takes the egg and bashes it on the head. We take the tools, we take the gifts we've received, and then we expect Hashem to give it to us all over again. And we do, we get it. You don't find a person transgresses and he drops dead. Doesn't happen usually, right? People get away with doing what they did wrong, and their heart keeps pumping, and they keep having full control of their facilities, and life just keeps going on, and Hashem keeps supporting them. So that's the idea, that Hashem is willing to take shame and continue giving support. And as parents, you'll do that. The simplest example is as you're trying to change a baby's diaper and they're squirming away. They make your life miserable. Do you stop changing their diaper because they're making your life miserable? You have patience. And when you finish changing their diaper, you hug them and kiss them. And next time you're going to do it all over again. Only hopefully you're going to figure out a tactic to distract them. But you don't hate the kid for it. You deal with it. And so on. So, At Bash, Hashem says, Oti Tiev. Even when a person is disgusted with me, Et Avelo, I desire him. I was once giving a class. We had a child who was in foster care because his parents were very abusive. And the class used to pick on this kid. So, what?
You were a child?
I was the teacher of the class. I was teaching the class. One of the kids in the class was being picked on by the other kids. So I tried to put an end to it, and whatever I did didn't work. And then I told the class, okay, you guys are picking on him. I'm not going to go into who did what or why. If there's a fight again between you, everyone's getting expelled. You're all going to, okay. A fight erupts, and I say, okay, we're going to call your parents. No sooner did I say these words, and I was doing this to protect this kid, and I explained it to him in advance, that I was doing it for his benefit, he went berserk. He ran up to the front of the class and started punching me. So I was trying to help him. But he got all panicked that his foster home would get upset at him. Now I had told him in advance, before I set this up, I had told him we were going to do it, but he went berserk. He started punching me. And as he's punching me, he yells at me and says, "Don't you dare hit me back, because if you do, I'm going to sue you for child abuse," he says as he's hitting me. So I took both his hands. I wasn't going to let him continue punching me, right? And two things had to happen at that point. Number one, you can't let a kid get away with that in terms of the class. If a class sees they can get away with that, then it's just going to happen again. So I said to him, this was for the class to hear, I said, "We're going to go right now and call in the police, and the whole class is witness that you hit me and I didn't hit you back, and we're going to open you a file as a juvenile delinquent, and you'll just have that with you for the rest of your life. No, you're right, I won't hit you back. But I won't let you hit me, and you're going to have to deal with having a record as a juvenile delinquent." And with that, I took him out of the class. That was just said so the class, like, thinks that you don't get away with such behavior. And when I took him out of the class, I hugged him. So the guy is trying to hit me, and I hugged him. I didn't do anything. I realized that the pressure was more than he could handle. So this isn't my own son, but I could see that I thought this move would help him. I'd miscalculated how much it would pressure him. And so he reacted in a way that was wrong. So he was wrong. Fine, he's wrong. So now what do you do? When you care for someone, even as they're hitting you, you hug them. And you say, "Calm down, wait a second. It doesn't have to play itself out this way. Take it easy." Their Ribbon Shalom has much more patience than we would ever have. And that's a very important and a very encouraging concept the Gemara is telling us. Oti Tiev. The Torah is discussing someone who is disgusted with his Creator. It's not that he was overtaken by a desire and he just did something he shouldn't have done. No, no, no. He reached a point where he's disgusted. He's disgusted with his Creator. And Hashem still says, "Et Avelo, I desire him." One of the phenomenal concepts we're taught in Talmud and in Chazal, in Tanakh as well, that the Ribbono Shel Olam wants a relationship with us. There's a heavenly voice that comes out and says, "I'm waiting for you." That means we can always tap into it. And the At Bash, the Gemara is saying, the Aleph Taf of At Bash indicates the idea. He went from Aleph, recognizing there is one, right, monotheism, to Taf. He skips that to the very end and says, "I want to have nothing to do with him." Tiev. What is their Ribbono Shel Olam answer? "Et Avelo, I desire him." I'm still waiting. So you're being foolish. Okay, I'm still waiting for you. Beis Shin. Bash. So the Gemara says Bash stands for Bi Lo Chashak. Hashem says this man wants to have nothing to do with me. Says Hashem Shmi Yachul Alav, but my name still goes on him. We've had numerous times I keep mentioning this in classes, that people are very good at being at peace with other people, except for people have their exceptions. I'll be at peace with everyone, but there's that uncle of mine that I'm never going to talk to him again. I'll be at peace with people, but my father, don't ask me to talk to him. People are nice to everyone, and then they have their exception. This person who, they bear a grudge, and leave me alone, I'm not going to have anything to do with them. And I often discuss the idea that you have to revisit that and ask yourself if it's really impossible to mend that relationship. So, a student once came to me not so long ago, and he said, you know, I tried. It was about 20, 25 years since he spoke to certain relatives. There was this family feud, and they had nothing to do with one another. And then he decided, I'm going to try. And what he found was that the other side didn't even remember what the feud was about. And the other side was so open and welcoming, suddenly he has family. They wanted the relationship, but it took just the starter, his taking a step forward and going over and saying hi. The Ribbono Shel Olam teaches us the concept. Be lo chashak. Even when the other party says, I don't want him, Shmi Yachul Alav, God says his name is on him. We see many times, especially in divorce, that sometimes a child is fed all kinds of stories about the other parent. It could be the mother feeding the child about the father, or the father feeding the child about the mother. And the child grows up thinking that the other one's a villain, and they want to have nothing to do with them. And if they only open the door, they discover they're a decent person. It's in my interest to have a relationship with them. The Ribbono Shel Olam teaches us, Bi lo chashak, the Beit Shin interchange, says the Ribbono Shel Olam, even when he doesn't desire me, Shmi Yachul Alav, my name is upon him. Remember, the Shin stands for Hashem's name. We have it on our tefillin, right? Our tefillin Shorosh is Shem Hashem Nikra Alecha. The letter Shin represents Hashem's name upon us. That's the Kabbalistic idea that when you look at a person's nose, where he breathes, we say Hashem breathed life into a person, and our nose forms the shape of a shin, right? Hashem's name is implanted on every Jew. Think about it, right? The two bridges and the central bridge form a shin. The shin, if you look at a person, Hashem breathed life, Hashem's name is upon us. Okay. We'll pick up here, but it's not him next week. So we started the Atmash in the Hebrew alphabet.